97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good Tuesday morning to you. Happy that you're with us this morning. We are back on Facebook. We're on Rumble, X, the Odyssey app, the internet, the radio, wherever you would normally go to find us. We're up on all platforms this morning. And, of course, that happened on Friday when I was out of town. So I'm happy that it's still working this morning on Tuesday. Kim, thank you for not getting us kicked back off of Facebook while I was gone.
I did my best. You know, the other day I said, we learned our lesson. And then I thought about it and I said, no, we didn't.
No, we didn't. We didn't. Although I think it's unfortunate that the whole reason we got kicked off is because I shared a post from a gun store. I'm sorry, the Range St. Louis West. I shared it to my page. It's a verified business by Facebook, and Facebook banned me from going live for 30 days for violating community standards. It just shows you what the left has done with big tech and these companies. It was probably a bot or somebody complained, maybe. And then they just ban you and they give you no reason, no feedback. There's nobody to talk to. That's the direction that a lot of people would like to see this thing go. Not me. So it's so important to get out and vote on November 5th or between now and November 5th. Because I believe after looking at these ballots, these sample ballots, it's going to take you 30 or 40 minutes to vote if you haven't read it in advance. It's long. And if you don't know what you're voting on when you get in there, a bunch of people are just going to skip a lot of this stuff. It's very true. And it's frustrating, I know, but that's what you have to deal with. Be an educated voter. I have the voter guide up on 971talk.com. It's got the big issues on there if you're in Missouri and the big propositions and amendments and all that stuff. So go on there, familiarize yourself with it. Take my advice if you want or don't. But at least I'm giving you the information and my take on these individual items. We'll talk more about Amendment 3, by the way, coming up at 8:35 this morning. Attorney Kim Mathis is going to join us to talk about some of the things you probably don't know about when it comes to Amendment 3. It's about so much more than just abortion. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Jeff Manasso here in a few minutes from Fox. He's been covering the issue of abortion and all of the different states that have it on the ballot this year and the impact that could have in turnout, right? I mean, there's a concern that if you were listening to John Lamping earlier in Senate District 15, because St. Louis County is such a purple county now that the turnout in District 15, so Baldwin and Chesterfield area, the pro-abortion turnout might be big enough to drag the Democrat across the finish line in that Senate race, which would reduce the supermajority for Republicans in the state. They would no longer have a supermajority potentially if they lose Senate District 15. And that's why turnout is so important. It's why you should go vote no matter what on Election Day, because we're going to need that. It's going to be important. So we're going to get to that and find out what the situation is across the country coming up here in just a few minutes. First, though, Carl, let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
All federal responders in Rutherford County, North Carolina, to stand down and evacuate the county immediately. National Guard troops had come across trucks of armed militia saying they were out hunting FEMA.
Maybe, and I know this will be controversial, they were just hunting for FEMA, since some of the people in North Carolina haven't seen them yet.
Kamala even supports letting biological men compete against our girls in their sports. Kamala is for them. President Trump is for you.
Well done. Well done. One of the new Trump campaign ads. It's not a surprise that Kamala Harris is not doing well among men. And if you listen to ads like that and think about it, she shouldn't be doing very well among women either.
Look at where the stars are in the sky. Don't look at them as just random things. If you just look at them as points, look at the constellation. What does it show you?
It shows me that I'm unburdened by what has been. But since I was raised in a middle class family, it doesn't really matter. That is, Carl, that is audio difficulty on my part. Here we go.
If you remove America's history and America's journey, America's this, then it's like, yeah, those people who fought against the British, they were terrorists.
Yeah, that is Trevor Noah. So, among other things, he's talking to that coach guy who had the interview with Tony DeCoppola on CBS and has written this big pro-Palestinian book and pro-Hamas. I mean, these people are insane. The guy doesn't care what happened on October 7th of last year. He doesn't care that 12 or 1,300 innocent civilians and babies were murdered and women were raped. He doesn't care about any of that. All he cares about is that he thinks the Palestinian people had been oppressed. And he justifies everything else that happened based on that. So he goes and does an interview with Trevor Noah, who tries to make the argument that the Palestinian people on October 7th, in other words, Hamas, were simply acting out because they were oppressed, much like the revolutionaries at the Boston Tea Party. This is the logic of the crazy left. Listen.
If you remove America's history and America's joy, America's this, then it's like, yeah, those people who fought against the British, they were terrorists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean? You can call it like, the Boston Tea Party. That's terrorism.
Yeah. Trevor Noah. Remember when he was never funny on late night TV and then he left because his ratings tanked? This is what he thinks of America. If you take America's history away from it, well, why would you do that?
I just wonder how some history teachers, particularly in the public schools, who are woke and feel like you have to erase history if there's any whiff of a wrongdoing from a person, you know, because we're all human and we all make mistakes, but apparently that's not allowed back in the day. So how are you teaching the history of our country if you want to erase it, if you don't want to tell the story of Christopher Columbus? I'm trying to think of somebody else who they've said is, you know, all the names that they've thrown out. Sexist, racist, slave owner, all the things.
Yes. Well, it's a good question. Columbus Day, I mean, tearing down statues and...
No, it's Indigenous Peoples Day, Mark.
Trying to erase that. I mean, you could argue that Columbus introduced diversity to the United States, couldn't you?
Oh. Someone made a really good point, and they said, let's just say Christopher Columbus crossed over our border illegally. People would be welcoming him with open arms and saying that we should be housing him in a fancy apartment and paying for all his health care and food and everything else that we're doing for these illegals.
I know.
But back then, no.
He was a poor Italian, trying to flee the oppression of the queen there in Spain, and he just happened to land here, and he introduced diversity to the continent.
I just feel bad he didn't get a chance to illegally come across our border. You know,
it's a shame because it is a shame. That would have made things so much better on Indigenous Peoples Day. Unbelievable. What's it come to, folks? What has it come to? Coming up, we're going to talk to Jeff Manasso. When Roe was overturned 2 years ago, everybody assumed it would play a role, and it probably did in the midterm elections. How much has it faded between then and now? Will it have a big impact on November 5th? We're going to talk to Jeff and the other states that are facing the same thing Missouri is coming up.
But you can't say that that's because they're trying to hide her, because Joe Rogan is not.
I think it's the opposite. I think what it suggests to me as a strategist is that this campaign is desperate. Because if they were ahead, if they were firm in their belief that the vice president is ahead and she's on to win this thing, they wouldn't be sitting down with Joe Rogan.
Joe Rogan is a no brainer.
They would be sailing into the sunset.
Yeah, that's sure Michael Singleton, who I'm not all that familiar with. He was on the set over there at CNN, and he was making the point that there are hints of desperation on the part of the Harris campaign that they're suddenly willing to go on with not only Joe Rogan, but Bret Baier of Fox News. And they've, of course, turned down all attempts at a debate on Fox. They would only agree to ABC or CBS or NBC. So now there's some people out there suggesting that they must be desperate because they're trying to get their message out on channels they haven't used before. All right, back to the abortion issue. Obviously, Amendment 3 is on the ballot here in Missouri. We've already talked about the impact that could have on a local state Senate race right here in the greater St. Louis area. We have Jeff Manasso is on the phone with us from Fox News Radio, and he's covering the potential impact that issue could have around the nation. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, my friend. So, yeah, 10 states have abortion on the ballot this fall, and each state in its language on abortion amendments are different, as is yours. So voters in swing states like Arizona, Nevada, blue-leaning states, Colorado, Maryland, New York, and red-leaning states, Florida, your state, Montana, Nebraska, and South Dakota, can have the ability to directly decide the future of abortion in those states and potentially enshrine abortion access into a state constitution after the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade in 2022 and send it back to the states, allowing them and their voters to decide. Nationally, abortion really has emerged as a critical issue, particularly for young women voters. And Democrats have had success in recent election cycles since the Roe decision, and we'll see the significance of, you know, of the issue in the presidential race just three weeks away. One recent national survey shows that 2 in 5 women under 30 now consider abortion the most important issue. That's a dramatic increase from just 1 in 5 earlier in the year. And as you know, referendums are a way to increase traffic to polling places, i.e. increasing the votes. We saw that on the marijuana issue and in some states. But there are other issues that polls show are equally as important or even more for most Americans. And that, of course, is the economy and the border crisis.
Yeah, I have to wonder, which, Jeff, of the ones you've looked at there, which one of these are on the ballot in swing states?
Well, swing states, it would be, let me take a look here, it would be Arizona and Nevada.
Okay, so those two.
Those are the swing states. Okay. And, you know, honestly, until this election is over, who knows? Maybe there are other swing states that we don't know about yet. we're going to find out. But right now it's Arizona and Nevada.
Interesting. And again, we're talking about a state Senate race here where that's been held by Republicans for ages. But St. Louis County is kind of pretty purple these days. And these two predominantly Republican areas in the western part of the county, there is some concern over this seat being flipped, which would cost Republicans a supermajority in the state legislature here. If that happens, I guess we have to wait here for a while to find out. But I'm sure in these other states, it's the same problem we're having here. Millions of dollars are pouring into the state from outside of the state borders to try to get this thing passed.
There are, you can't go into any state, particularly where abortion is on the ballot. You can't go into any state and not be inundated with commercials describing abortion issues. It is a winner. It has been a winner. We'll see how much of a winner it is this year, because when you couple it with other huge issues, pressing issues, as we discussed, the economy, which affects everybody, the border crisis, which affects everybody. I don't know. Will it be a wash? Will abortion take over? Will abortion not be as big of an issue? Because there are other real issues out there. And so, these pollsters can do all the polling they want, but at the end of the day, we're going to wait and we're going to see what Americans and people in Missouri and other states decide to do on this issue and how much it matters.
Jeff Manasseh, we appreciate your report. Thank you.
You bet.
Yep, 10 of them. I didn't realize there were a total of 10 around the country. Importantly, you could argue only 2 in swing states. Trump's ahead in Arizona and was either tied or within the margin of error in Nevada the last time I looked.
He's up now.
In Nevada?
Like 3 points.
Wow. All right, that's good news then. So we'll see. Maybe that doesn't have the impact we think nationally. Coming up, it is a 2A Tuesday. Even Saturday Night Live is now obsessed with Kamala Harris's Glock. We'll talk about it coming up.
The people surveyed, top 6 answers on the board. Name something that you keep in your glove compartment. Oh, BP Harris.
Steve, look. I was raised in a middle class family, all right?
Oh, here we go.
Okay, my mother raised my sister and me, all right? Yeah. She worked hard and saved up.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And we had a second mother, too.
Okay. Did that mother have a glove compartment?
A small business owner named Miss Shelton.
Okay, we got that. Something that you keep in your glove compartment.
Oh, a Glock, Steve. A big old Glock.
If you ban them in the future, the bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more available.
So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size? If you do, you could cook it at the same time.
Put that double-barrel shotgun and fire two blasts outside the house.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
This is 2A Tuesday, brought to you by the Range St. Louis West.
Our friend Mark Walters with us this morning from Armed American Radio. And, you know, Mark, I have to wonder, my friend, welcome back. I have to wonder, is she registered that Glock with Washington, D.C., because that's where she lives now?
Well, I don't know, but I do know this, that I was born in a middle-class family.
Yeah, that's all you need to know.
I had people cut my grass, and I just had it seeded so it's nice and green for next spring.
But did you work at McDonald's?
Well, I could say yes, and no one would ever be able to follow up. So, yes. But no. But yes.
I don't know. I mean, I know two times now she supported, once in San Francisco when she was a prosecutor there, a local proposition to ban handguns in the city of San Francisco. Now, the court overruled it. Yeah, the court overruled it, but we know what she thinks about that. Who does she think she's fooling?
Well, she's not. And here's, let's go, I want to go a step further. I'm glad you brought up Prop H, because that came out yesterday as well. But she did support Proposition H vigorously, which banned all handgun ownership. All handgun ownership, except for hers, her Glock.
Yeah, yeah.
And I want to point out that she also wrote an amicus brief in the D.C. Heller case, which we were victorious on, of course, in 2008. And she was supporting in her amicus brief. And you got to remember, the Heller case was about being able to, it overturned the handgun ban in Washington, D.C. She was in support of the handgun ban in Washington, D.C. And I want to make this clear, very clear. I interviewed Daryl Issa at the Gun Rights Policy Conference 3 weeks ago in San Diego. And I asked Daryl Issa point blank in a fireside chat I had with him in front of the audience and the cameras for 45 minutes. Well, she's backed off on that, but she's made it clear that her values have not changed. Will she push to ban our guns? And his response was 100% absolutely, she is lying. So we need to keep that in mind. Her entire career has been spent not just going after quote-unquote low-hanging fruit assault weapons, but your handguns as well.
Wow. I'm sure you've seen the video of Tim Walz out there pheasant hunting, right?
Yeah.
Avid hunter?
Well, I don't know that he hunted. They never saw him. Nobody saw him fire a shot, and nobody saw him pick up a pheasant. You know, and I had A.W.R. Hawkins from Breitbart on the show on Sunday evening on Armed American Radio, and he theorized, you know, he was having trouble loading his own shotgun. And A.W.R. theorized that he said he was likely trying to put those shells in backwards.
I mean,
because remember, he said they're hard to get in. No, they're not, unless you're trying to go in backwards.
It looked to me like he was trying to unload the shotgun. Yeah. Although he claims to have been an experienced shooter and used to shoot it, he got it when he shot trap a lot. And yeah, I mean, you usually only load one shell when you're shooting trap, so maybe that's his problem. He's not used to loading the tube. I just don't know.
Well, this stuff backfires on them, you know, because the question is, how stupid do they really think we are? Because if he's going after gun owners in something like that, does he think that endeared him to any gun owner? We're all laughing at him. But this is the same thing that they did with John Kerry, had the tags on his camo, right?
Yeah.
And you go back to, you go back to Barack Obama shooting at Camp David. I mean, my gosh, Big Mike would have looked better with that shotgun than he did.
I remember that picture. He had the stock. He had the stock basically on his bicep. And you're like, if he's dumb enough to pull that trigger, he's going to have a stone bruise. I mean, it was just, it was crazy. Wow.
Well, they think we're stupid,
yes.
You know, and we're not stupid. And, you know, I want to try to make you feel a little better here. Let me pivot to the election. And I'm looking at some Georgia numbers where I am right now. Georgia, of course, is a pivotal state in the election this year. And in the top three categories that the voters hold most important, economy, inflation, and immigration, right now, this morning, Trump is up 51 to Harris 39 on the economy, 52 to 38 over Harris on inflation, and 53 to 35 on the topic of immigration. I find it very difficult to believe that those same voters will then pull the lever for Harris, giving her a victory in the state of Georgia.
Yeah, boy.
So I predict for you right now a win in the state of Georgia. I predict a resounding win.
That's good news. That's good news. I don't want Trump to have to send the military down there on you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, you know, they say he's going to do it. And then, of course, he's going to be dictator on day one. Let's not forget all that stuff. And let's everybody believe Martha Raddatz, okay?
Yeah. I mean, don't worry. A couple of gangs taking over nine. It only happened nine times.
It's only a handful of times.
What's wrong here, Mr. Vance? Hey, you know, I want to mention, because a friend of mine, Rich, just sent this to me on Messenger, that regardless of where Kamala currently has that Glock, she's probably in violation of some law she helped pass, because it would be illegal to have it in D.C. And back in California, correct me if I'm wrong, Mark Walters, but most Glock handguns have at least a 10-round magazine, so she would be in violation of their high-capacity magazine ban, right?
Well, keep in mind that she was considered law enforcement. Now, the only handgun on the roster, the Glock handgun on the roster in California that's legal, is the Gen 3. Now, I was talking with Dr. John Lott on my show Sunday, and he said, wouldn't it be great if somebody asked her the question from the media, do you keep the safety on your Glock when it's not in use? And see what she responded, because those of you listeners who might not be in the know, Glocks don't have safeties.
Yes.
Would love to see her response to that.
Yeah.
But sadly, unless it's me or you or somebody of our kin asking, she won't get that question.
Yeah, Brett Baer will not be asking that question Wednesday night.
No, I'm afraid Brett Baer won't. I think he's going to be tougher than the rest of them, but he's still going to be a joke. But it'll be fun to watch Wednesday for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Mark, we're out of time, my friend. Keep up the great work.
God bless you guys, and love you, Kim. Have a great day.
See you, Mark.
Yep, thanks. How about that? Todd and Pyro, Mark Walters, all loving them some Kim St. Ange.
I love it.
They never say that to me. I'm feeling left out.
I'm sorry.
All right, coming up, we're going to get to Kim on a whim. What are we whimming about, Kim?
Remember back in school, Mark, when we learned that we shouldn't plagiarize?
I do remember that.
I think Kamala Harris may have been absent that day.
Uh-oh, could that be the October surprise? It is October. We'll talk about that coming up.
Kim on a whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
You know, I'm thinking back to my time sitting in high school English class, or maybe it was middle school, even elementary school, and you learn you shouldn't plagiarize, right? Those dreaded English papers that you had to write that you'd stay up until midnight writing the night before it was due. And you know that you actually have to put forth original work, okay? I know it's very difficult for a lot of people, but that was the agreement, right, with the teachers. You can't plagiarize. Well, I really do think Kamala Harris missed out on that lesson because now it's come out that she plagiarized several sections of her 2009 book, which is called Smart on Crime, A Career Prosecutor's Plan to Make Us Safer. Well, you know where she plagiarized from?
She did not.
Wikipedia. Of all places to plagiarize from. Guys, I could go to Wikipedia, and I have. In fact, I remember one time Heidi Harris was hosting the show when you were out, Mark. And, you know, Heidi's written two books. And she had said something about there was missing information on the Wikipedia page about her books or something to that effect. I went in during the show and edited it. That is how easy it is to do it. So the fact that she took it from Wikipedia makes it that
Never
much better.
Trust anything from Wikipedia. So just to be clear, she wrote a book and mass copied stuff from Wikipedia for the content?
Yes, and you
I know this was pre-AI, but come on.
You should go look at it, because I'm not going to read the entire bit that she plagiarized, because it's several sections, but if you go look, there's images I've seen on social media where they put a side-by-side image of the text in her book and the text that came from Wikipedia. It is word for word, verbatim. There was one case where she might like take out the words in order, but that was it. It wasn't even like she just tried to rephrase it a little bit. I mean, it was like she just almost as if she copied and pasted the entire thing.
I heard she's got a new book coming out soon. It's called The Smart of the Deal.
I've heard seen
yeah,
this. The Art of the Deal.
Just going to borrow a little bit from Donald Trump. I mean, she's already borrowed some of his policies, so.
Yeah. No, yeah. I've seen that. J.D. Vance was, of course, quick to pounce on this and put, hi, I'm J.D. Vance. I wrote my own book on, like, Kamala Harris, who copied hers from Wikipedia.
Well, here's the thing, though. It was, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was not an American journalist or anybody who bothered to look into this. Wasn't it some German person?
Yeah, it was some German fact or plagiarism, whatever.
Expert.
Yeah. One more funny text or tweet, rather, from J.D. Vance. He put, cue the corporate media fact checkers, adding, if they were to, you know, sometimes they put context.
Yeah.
This is what he says. Vance's tweet is missing some important context. Kamala Harris only copied some of her book from Wikipedia.
Not all of it. There were only a handful of examples. And that's what Martha Raddatz would have said. There were only a handful of examples of her plagiarizing within the book.
Why are you all wound up? I think it was, I thought I saw the number 12 sections. I mean, that's pretty substantial.
Well, here's what's likely to have happened, and I don't want to give her any cover on this, but she seems like the kind of person that would delegate something like that. She would say to one of her underlings, write a book for me so that I've got something to campaign on. I can claim that I wrote this. And the person went and did it and gave it to her, and she probably just approved it and moved on, right? I mean, I can't imagine her even, I think she's kind of lazy. I can't imagine her actually doing the work to have put a book together.
That's the reputation I've heard about her, even while she's been VP, that she doesn't really prep ahead of these meetings, so she comes unprepared. I don't think any of her quote-unquote policies she's put forth have been original. I think she's basically copying them from other people and trying to say, oh yeah, this is how I feel about X topic.
Man alive. Well, I've talked to teachers who have to run every paper they get from their kids through AI these days to find out if it's been copied from the internet.
Imagine
somewhere.
If Kamala had AI available to her when she was doing this book.
That's two words.
It
artificial
means,
intelligence.
Thank you.
Just checking you there. Coming up, we're going to talk a little bit more about Amendment 3 and what's really in there. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.